Today's sermon is brought to you by Pastor Daryl Hilbert at Grace Bible Church in Gillette, Wyoming, preaching the living word through the written word. You can find more studies and audio at www.gracebiblegillette.org. And you can also like our Facebook page online.
As many of you know that I've been helping out with my stepfather, and one of the things that we've been helping him out, along with the fact that he's received a new valve for his heart, and that is his oxygen. So I got to learn a little bit, actually a lot, about oxygen and lungs and all of those things, and it is amazing that the oxygen that he wears that will keep him going, and you have to maintain about a 90 to 93% level of oxygen. And probably if I went around and tested your oxygen right now, probably we would all be around that, because normally the body just does that. But when your lungs are fatigued or injured, or in some cases will no longer work very well, your oxygen level becomes very, very low. And you know, it's something that we take for granted. One of the interesting things as I've been studying for this theme, this new theme this year, is that many people equate prayer like breathing. Like we breathe naturally in the physical realm. That's how prayer ought to be for the Christian in the spiritual realm. Let me read a few of these. Jonathan Edwards wrote, "Prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life." Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Matthew Henry wrote, "You may as soon find a living man that does not breathe as a living Christian that does not pray." And then I especially appreciated John MacArthur's quote. He writes, "I used to say praying is like breathing. It's just normal. It's just natural. It's just living for us. We inhale, we exhale. The atmosphere of the presence and the power of God. And while that is true, it is also true that we who are dependent on God, and who, if genuinely Christians, do commune with God, do not pray as unceasingly as we ought to pray." So although it should be natural to us, it's not. We're told in the Bible to pray without ceasing. We wouldn't be told to pray without ceasing if we automatically did it. He goes on to say, "We are guilty, I think, of spiritually holding our breath. While we would assume that the pressure of the very environment of God's pressure and would force us to pray, even as air pressure forces us to breathe, that's not necessarily the case. And we as Christians restrict our intake, the very presence of God, due to our own sinfulness." And it's quotes like these, as well as discussions that we as elders have, and our prayers, that we believe that we'd like to say that we're led by God this year in this theme. We have a theme every year. We preach on it for several weeks, and then we go back. We're going back this year to our study on the book of Acts. Hopefully, we're going to finish up the book of Acts. It's been our third year in the book of Acts, but then again, there are 28 chapters in it. One thing I will guarantee you as we come this year is that I won't go any further. I won't go into any more sermons than necessary. Once we get it, I'm going to move on. Well, as we think of devote yourselves to prayer, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And read with me. There was a lot of verses that we could have chosen for our theme this year on prayer. And I will have to tell you that I really feel overwhelmed. I really feel that I'm looking out on the subject of prayer as an ocean. And I have a little thimble that I'm going to go get some water from that ocean and bring it to you. That's how I feel. There's so much to be said about prayer. You all know so much about prayer. But I still think, and I think you would agree, that we need to be reminded about this. We need to be reminded of a devotion to prayer. In fact, we're told, yea, we're commanded in the Scriptures to devote ourselves. So in other words, it's time to do a gut check. It's time to say, all right, let's check our commitment. Let's check our commitment to prayer. We know we're supposed to do it. We do it. Have we slackened a little bit? Do we have a time that we have set aside every day for prayer and the study of the Word? And do we do it? Do we have multiple times, like the Jewish people, and set aside time for prayer? And then in between those times that we've set aside for prayer, the Scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. Do we pray without ceasing? When someone asks us to pray for them and to intercede for them, and we say, I will pray for you, and then you see them a week later, has it ever happened to you that you go, oh no, when you see them from a distance, I forgot to pray for them? So you do what any honorable Christian would do. You pray for them right then and there before you walk up to them and talk to them. Has that ever happened to you? Well, here in Colossians, in the NASB, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Let me kind of give you a more literal translation. As I'm looking at the Greek, I'm looking at these Greek words. It literally is this: you must keep on continuing or devoting yourselves to prayer, while at the same time keeping alert or keeping watch. And it literally says in thanksgiving, but it would mean with thanksgiving. And I don't have a problem with an attitude of thanksgiving, because we ought to have an attitude of thanksgiving, and it ought to come out in our prayers. But the real key to this is this first phrase, devote yourselves to prayer. It is a command in the Scriptures. And before we look at some other things, I just want to say this. When there's a command in the Scriptures, it does not mean that God says, well, if you get some time, now I don't want to rush you, I don't want to bother you, I don't want to offend you, but if you get some time, could you pray? That is not what it means. When you have a Greek word in the Scriptures, which is exactly what the New Testament was written in, was Koine Greek, and it's in the imperative mood. There's a specific mood that you can write to convey this. It is a command that it means you must do this. And if you're not doing this, not only is your spiritual life suffering, but you are committing sin. If you don't have a devoted prayer life, if you're not devoted to prayer, you are sinning. So just add that to the list of the things that we need to confess to our Lord this morning. You must keep on devoting yourselves to prayer. That's our theme. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we're asking you, Lord, in prayer, that you would help us with this Scripture. And we would dedicate ourselves to obeying this and all Scripture, but particularly this Scripture. And Lord, what we realize is that even though we're going to try to devote ourselves to prayer, we can't even devote ourselves to prayer this morning without the aid and the power and the help of Almighty God. So, Father, on that, we ask you, would you work in our hearts and lives this year to devote ourselves to prayer? And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a number of things that we have here. First of all, I'd like to just take a look at a little bit of an intro to prayer. You know, how do you begin a series on prayer? Well, here's just an introduction to prayer. And this comes from Herbert Lockyer's All the Prayers of the Bible. Great, great book. He says, exclusive of the Psalms, in other words, not including the Psalms, which form a prayer book on their own, the Bible records no fewer than 650 definite prayers. of which no less than 450 have recorded answers. So even though there's only 66 books in the Bible, there's some 650 recorded definite prayers. Do you think the Christian life, do you think the Bible is about prayer? It absolutely is. Just searching the word, the root word pray or prayer or praying, just searching that word alone in the NASB, you come up with some 334 times. 183 in the Old Testament and 151 in the New Testament. Now, realize that's not talking about the phrase crying out to the Lord and he lifted up his eyes towards heaven. That's just the word prayer. And I've looked at those, and for the next few weeks we're going to be looking at some of those, and we're going to be looking at different aspects to which we should devote ourselves to prayer. Today, this morning, is the general exhortation that we ought to devote ourselves to prayer. Now, as to the first prayer in the Bible, Herbert Lockyer says that the first prayer was in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. So I'll ask you to turn there quickly with me. We've got a lot of verses to look at. I'm really not interested in my own opinion, as I hope you are not either. I hope you're not interested in my opinion. I trust that you're interested in God's opinion on what prayer is, what it means, and how we ought to do it. But in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, it says to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And then it says this, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. A first reference to prayer in the Bible. Now, there are others who would say, well, no, wait a second, what about when Adam and Eve talked with God in the garden, and that was a dialogue, and prayer is essentially dialogue. You make a point there. I think today we would only wish that we could see the Lord in the garden and walk and talk with him in the garden like Adam and Eve did. Do you think our prayer lives would be any better? Well, the last prayer recorded in the Bible is in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 17, and I'll ask you to turn there. Revelation 22, verse 17 reads, the Spirit and the bride, that's believers, that's us, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And who are we talking to? The Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Come, Lord Jesus. And then it continues on, and let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There is an invitation for individuals to come to Christ. But that first part is the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's the last prayer of the Bible saying, come, Lord Jesus. And verse 20 of the same chapter, it says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. And then John says, come, Lord Jesus. So that would be the final prayer in the Scriptures. But what is prayer? What do we mean by prayer? I bet we could pass out a piece of paper this morning and let you fill out what you thought was a definition of prayer, and they probably would be all on target. Basically, in a nutshell, prayer is talking with God. But let me read a couple of definitions for you. Let me read a couple of definitions. First of all, from Herbert Lockyer. I think he has the right for the first definition, since it's a tremendous book. All the prayers of the Bible. That's where the 650 come from, as he recorded them. It's a tremendous, encouraging book. He writes, very simply, prayer is the desire, the opportunity, and the privilege of talking to God. Well, I was curious what the Westminster Confession would say, because the Westminster Confession is a great, great commentary on the things of God in the Scriptures. And they say this, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And as you can begin to see, as you're thinking of a definition of prayer, you're saying to yourself, but what about this and what about that? So your definition becomes larger. But I've especially appreciated John Bunyan's definition on prayer. And here it is. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God. Through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God hath promised, or according to the Word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. You could preach that. Here's prayer as defined by certain expressions in the Bible. So if you go to the Bible, this is what you might read, that prayer is lifting up the soul to God, Psalm 25:1, pouring out of the heart to God, Psalm 62:8, crying out to God, Psalm 86, verse 3, approaching the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, sacrificing spiritually. These are spiritual sacrifices, our prayer, Hebrews 13:15, and according to James 4:8, it is a drawing near to the presence of God. That's what prayer is. Well, let me just throw in there one other definition, kind of trying to surround all of these things and perhaps where we're going to be going in the next few weeks. But this is, prayer is the response of dependence of the creature upon his creator. It is the communication between man and God. And prayer is the approach we take to seek God, fellowship with God, praise God, and align our wills with His. Prayer is the way in which we go to God for our forgiveness, our needs, our comfort, and our direction. And prayer is the means by which we commune with God, seek spiritual strength from God, intercede for others for God, and pursue ministry of God. So let me just say that this last sentence is where we're going in this series. We're going to talk about being devoted to prayer and what that means and a picture of that. We'll continue that idea, but we want to look at being devoted to prayer in your relationship with God. First of all, your communion. You know, that's one of the great things about prayer, is that prayer is communing with the Almighty God and Creator of the universe. The one who sent Christ to die for your sins, who loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's that one that we get to have communication with. Secondly, we're going to look at devoting ourselves to prayer for ourselves, for our own spiritual strength. Now, I know that we need to pray to God, and we need to pray for others, and then we need to pray about ourselves, but you know what? If you're not walking with the Lord and you're not praying, you're going to be little help to anyone else. So we're going to talk about prayer and our own lives, our spiritual strength. Thirdly, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at intercession. Intercession prayer, where we do pray for others, like for their salvation. Many quotes I've come across that says, make sure you pray to God about men before talking to men about God. You know, if you're just doing things for the Lord, if you're just busy for the Lord, and you've not stopped to pray or involve God in it through prayer, then you're just busy. You're just busy. And that is the fourth area, is what about prayer, being devoted to prayer in ministry for God? What about that? What about that kind of aspect? Well, let me move on, and a few other things I want to say about just the types of prayers we're thinking about this. Like I say, you're probably thinking about these things, and you know these things, and some of these lists that I'm giving, you probably have other things that you could add to them. So then you see my problem. My problem is that it's so overwhelming. But I pray that God the Holy Spirit today will take these simple words and make them and put them on fire in our hearts. So that's the definition of prayer. Now, what about the different types of prayer? And I just came across this little list, and I thought it was good. The Bible lists numerous types of prayer, main types of prayer. So the Bible will talk about a prayer of faith from James. It will talk about a prayer of agreement from Acts 2:42. It will talk about a prayer of request or petition or supplication from Philippians 4:6. There will be a prayer of thanksgiving in the Scriptures, Psalm 95:2 through 3. There's the prayer of worship when they were gathered together and worshiping the Lord and praying, Acts 13:2 through 3. There's the prayer of consecration, also called dedication. And there's the prayer of confession, where you often go to the prayers in the Old Testament, and these great and godly saints begin their prayer with deep, deep confession of sin within their own lives and within their own people and their own land. The concept of the prayer of confession, where did that go? There's the prayer of intercession, of interceding for someone. And if you're a student of the Scriptures, if you're a student of the Psalms, you know that David used a prayer of imprecation, the imprecatory Psalms, where David prayed that God would pour down His judgment upon mankind. And also in praying in the Spirit, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Scripture also gives example of people who pray, and all kinds of times of praying and postures of prayer. There is no one posture of prayer. We usually see that as kneeling, but that's not always the prayer. As we see that Scripture gives examples of people who pray in the morning, people who pray at noon, people who pray at night, people who pray seven times a day, people who pray at midnight, people who pray all night, people who pray before dawn, people who pray before days, people who pray for weeks, some who prayed long, some who prayed short, some prayed kneeling, some prayed standing, some prayed lying on a bed. Kind of a dangerous one there, you know. Probably all have done that, and you wake up in the morning and you have not finished your prayer. Some prayed lying face down on the ground. Some prayed hands up. Some prayed hands down. Some prayed hands out. Some prayed face down. Some prayed face up, etc., etc. But every way, everywhere, prayer, prayer unceasing. That's what we ought to be about. We ought to be devoted to prayer. It ought to be as natural to us as breathing. And now I'd like to return to our text in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I'd like to talk about a few things here, and we're only going to look at verse 2. Before this whole study is over, we will have looked at verses 3 and 4 and many, many other scriptures, but we're just going to stick right in here today, and I'm just praying that just the Scriptures alone by the Holy Spirit will challenge us that this is His Word, and this is what He wants for us as believers, and let us give ourselves to Him that we might devote ourselves to prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, what's the context? I'd like you to go up to verse 1, Colossians 4, 1. It says, "Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." And then you wonder, well, then verse 2, when he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer," is he still talking to the masters? I don't think directly. I think chapter 4, verse 1 was the end of one section, and the beginning of 2 was another one. Let me kind of put the whole context together for you. It goes back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Go there if you would. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above." That's another one of those things in the Greek that you have to try to bring across in the English to say, it's not just do it once, it's keep doing this. keep devoting yourselves to prayer. Here he says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. It's talking about our new life in Christ. The moment that you as a believer realize that God is holy and that you are sinful and there is a separation between the two, and then you see and hear the gospel that Jesus Christ, which is all over the pages of the scripture, that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to die on the cross in our place, to take our sin and our punishment. As you see that in the scriptures, that is the solution. That is to solve my problem of being out of a relationship with God because of my sin. That's what brings me back into a relationship. The moment that I, by faith, accept Christ as my Savior and believe that He died on the cross for my sins and rose again, that the moment that you just believe on that, trust on that, rely on that, that moment you are saved. You are given eternal life. And that's not my opinion, because I'm not interested in my opinion. That's what the Scripture says. That's what they say over and over and over again. So you begin this new life, and he talks about this new life all the way down to verse 17. And then, in the beginning of verse 18, he starts talking about, since we have a new life, we have to live a new way as believers. And that new way is going to affect every aspect of my life. That's why when you come to Christ, you do change. He changes you because you are a new person in Christ, and there is a new way to go about life, God's way. Because for the most part, up until that point that you come to Christ, you're not living God's way. You're living your own way, or the world's way, or whoever it is that you're talking to by phone, cell phone, or texting and getting your counseling and advice from. In verse 18, he begins, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. So here's the new way in which we live. And he goes down, he talks about children, talks about fathers, he talks about slaves, those who work for masters, and then he talks about masters. That's all in the new way of life. And then when you come to verse 2 of chapter 4, he begins a series of instructions, helpful admonitions that every believer ought to have, like this one about prayer, Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Let me go ahead and read it. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well. Paul, the great apostle, is asking for prayer from the church at Colossae. What's he praying for? That God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. So he's speaking of really prayer and ministry there. And then in verses 5 through 6, he talks about a new way of life with outsiders, those outside the church, those who don't believe in Christ, those who haven't trusted in Christ. What about your life there? But the one that we're focusing on this morning is verse 10, that instruction. That's the one that perhaps is the most important feature of the believer's new life. And that's what many have said. The prayer life. And as you think of, what does it mean to be devoted to prayer? It is, first of all, that you're devoted to all kinds of prayer. It doesn't say what kind of prayer. It just says devoted to prayer, all kinds of prayer. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we read that there are all kinds of prayers, not just one prayer. There's a a prayer that we pray together corporately here as a church. And then there's a prayer that you may pray by yourself before you come to church. Hopefully there's prayers that you make after you leave church to say, Lord, help me apply this. And throughout the week, different prayers. But verse 6 is an interesting verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Here's the remedy in the Bible for worry. Don't be worried. Every time you're worried or anxious even, this is what you do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I want to look at the word prayer, supplication, and request, but I have to finish this, don't I? So if you are anxious about something and you come to God in prayer, what will happen? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know what? You can forget about everything else I'm saying this morning, but for this reason alone, you ought to be devoted to prayer. But he talks about, but everything in prayer. And that would just be, I think, a general approaching to God. Supplication. Supplication is the word that you, in the Greek, that you're pleading. You're pleading with God. There's times that we plead with God, but with thanksgiving. And then there's times that you have requests. And these are more just about the content of prayer. So whatever kind of prayer that you have, whether you're pleading, whether you're hurting, whether you're thanking Him, whether it's confession, whether it's adoration and praise to God, whether you're asking for just all of your temporary needs or spiritual needs, perhaps you're asking for forgiveness, or perhaps you're asking, God, help me forgive others. Being devoted to prayer means being devoted to all kinds of prayer, all of these things. You're an expert in prayer. You know all about it, and you do it all. I know that yesterday, the men's breakfast, it was said and agreed with that we have to pray, and then we can't just pray, we have to go out and do something. Part of the problem is that we pray, and then we go out, and we don't do anything. Well, that is, I would agree with that. But I have to, there's something wrong with that. If you're not going out and doing anything, how do I know you're here praying? Where are the people devoted to prayer? I think about last year, on the National Day of Prayer, the one day, forgive me God, the one day that we as a church have called you all together to pray. Where were the masses? Where were the masses? So when we say, well, the problem is we pray, but we don't do anything about it. No, the problem is we don't pray. And then we'd know exactly what to do. And God would do much of it. We need to pray. All kinds of prayer. And it ought to be consistently. When you say devoted to prayer, it ought to be pray without ceasing. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here's another verse. If you want to say verses this year and do a memory program, you already know about John 11:35. Jesus wept. Here's another one. Pray without ceasing. But I warn you, though you may choose to memorize this because it's short, it will not leave you alone. We are told to pray without ceasing. And what does that mean? Again, there are times that you're not thinking of prayer at the moment. You're concentrating. If you have a brain surgeon and he's doing surgery on your brain, I would like him to concentrate. I would like him first, though, to pray before he does surgery. And if something's not going right, I'd like him to stop and pray. And I'm hoping that after the brain surgery, he can thank God. That's what I'm hoping. But it's the idea that you have an attitude that you're always ready to pray. Any free moment you get, or anything that comes to your heart, anything that you're anxious about, anything that you think about, anything that there's a need, that you're constantly in communication. You think about a wife and a husband in the car, and they're on a long trip, they're traveling. You talk without ceasing, in a sense. Although you don't talk every moment, unless you have a daughter in the back. And I'm just teasing. You're not necessarily talk, but as soon as you see something and what about that? And the conversation starts, and then the conversation may die out, and then it's maybe there's something on someone's heart, and I thought this would be a good time to discuss it, and a discussion ensues. That's what it is with God. It's just an attitude of constant communication with Him. So when we say we're devoted to prayer, it ought to be all kinds of prayer, but it ought to be pray without ceasing. In fact, when I think of the word devotion, devote yourself to prayer, I think of the idea of persistence. I see the idea of continuing in it, and we're going to actually start to see some of that and some of these things we're going to look at here in just a moment. And I see a devotion to prayer in all aspects, a commitment to prayer in all aspects, whether it be your relationship with the Lord, your spiritual needs, intercession for others, or ministry. Now, as you're looking at this verse, this word here for devote, and there's other versions that would say continue in, they're all good. The Greek word is proskartureo. And when you see it here in this chapter, Colossians chapter 4, it's, as I said, it's in the imperative mood. It's a command. He's saying, you must do this. If you're a believer who has a new life in Christ, you have to live a new way of life. Here's the new way of life that you must live. You must pray. So when I translate it, when it's an imperative, I add the word you must. There are other ways to make a command in English without saying that. You also learn that not only is this in the imperative mood, but it's in the present tense in the Greek. There are numerous tenses in the Greek, so that the language in which the New Testament was written in could be so articulate. Is it meant to just do it once? Is it meant to do it in the past and have present results? No, this one's in the present tense. It means it's to have continuous action. So it would be, you must keep on devoting yourselves to prayer. And I like that, because there may be some among us who said, I've devoted myself to prayer already. Good, good. Are you still devoted? Well, maybe not so much as I was, but I did devote myself to. That's not what this says. This says, keep on devoting yourselves to prayer. And the idea that you're getting is that your devotion towards prayer is getting greater and greater and more effective and more powerful as you go. That's the idea. Now, the word itself, proskartureo, is really an interesting word. It's made up of two words from the Greek, pros, which means to or toward, like a forward motion, and kartereo, which means steadfast. So it means being steadfast in a forward motion, going forward. And there are times when it is translated to hold fast to something. There's times when it's translated to continue in something. There's times when it's translated to persevere in something, and there's times when it's meant to be devoted to something. If you were to turn quickly to Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. So this is what they were doing continually. You had the idea of continually. They were devoted to it. It became a characteristic. And then this idea of being devoted to something. In Acts chapter 7, the same word is used. It says, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, Acts 10:7, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. The word here is not devout. The word here is for personal attendants. Those who were loyal and dedicated and devoted to him. It's the idea that they were attending it continually. And you come to the idea of prayer that it's something that you ought to attend to continually. You ought to be steadfast in it. You ought to hold fast to it. You ought to continue in it. You ought to persevere in it. And by all means, you ought to be devoted to it. Now, I know that this verse is used, or this word is used in different verses in the Bible. I just read some of those to you. But the one that I think that it's used the most, and it best fits proskartereo, is when it's used in the New Testament with prayer. Keep on being devoted to prayer. And five times we read that in the New Testament. And that's what I want to look at. First of all, if you'd look at this idea in Acts chapter 1, verse 17, let's turn there. We're looking at this word proskartereo in its usages with prayer. And it's about the early church. And we're going to look at the early church. And when you think of the early church, they were people of prayer. They were devoted to prayer. And how do we know that? Because this word is involved with all, most of the time when it refers to their prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer." There it is. Proskartereo, whether done on purpose or not, was a word that I believe that God allowed because it's a word that describes what you're supposed to do with prayer. You're supposed to be devoted to it. You're supposed to continue in it. So it says in Acts chapter 1, the very first chapter, "These all," now this is before the Holy Spirit has come in the day of Pentecost. So what did the church look like before the day of Pentecost? Well, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit as per instructions by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they gathered together to pray. It says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer." And I love this, "along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So what we have here is the apostles gathered, the disciples gathered, and women gathered. What I love about this is to say that, look, when we gather together for prayer, that the prayers of women are just as important as the prayers of men. A woman doesn't have to come into this church and feel inferior. You are equal in status before the Lord. Now, there are roles that the Bible gives us and instructions. We know all about those because we talked about that not too long ago. But as far as your spiritual status goes, the moment that you accept Christ, you are a child of God. And your prayer is just as vital as a man's prayer. And I want to encourage the women of this church to be devoted to prayer in your own prayer life. When we gather together, perhaps there's some women that feel intimidated to pray among us. Do not. Because this is one pastor that wants to hear you. This is one pastor that is encouraged when I hear the prayer of women. And, you know, we were just talking about this the other day. Why do we all pray when we get together? Because we all have a little bit of a perspective of things. So no one says the same prayer. And each one has a little perspective. And so we appreciate that prayer so much. But it's the idea that the early church, even before the Holy Spirit came, they were continually devoted. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And I love this. This is talking about the church after the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And that's important to us because we say, well, I want to get into the Bible and I want to look at what the early church did. And I want to look at what the early church did after the Holy Spirit came. And he's the empowerment that they would be witnesses, but that he's the empowerment for them to pray. What do we read? After the Holy Spirit came, and that's my writing, not the scripture, Acts 2:42, but let me just read it. "After the Holy Spirit came, one of the characteristics," and that's what I want to get out of this verse, they have become characteristic now. This is how you look at the early church, and what was their characteristics? One of the characteristics of the early church was known for the fact that they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Now, there were other things that they were devoting themselves to. Let's read it. But it was also prayer. They, the early church, were continually, same word, proskartereo, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. How important is that? And to fellowship. That's important too. And to the breaking of bread. And, of course, to prayer. Of course, to prayer. I'd like to move to Acts chapter 6, verse 4, where we see this word used again. But this time it's used with the ministry of the apostles. This is what the apostles said. You remember what was happening there. There was a lot of needs being needed to take care of. The apostles said, you know, we certainly will serve, but we cannot do this and do what we've been called to do. What is it that these apostles were called to do? In Acts chapter 6, they said, look, point someone else to do some of those tasks. I'm not going to say that they're unimportant tasks, but they're certainly not as important as what they're about to say. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles said, but we will, same word, devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Proskartereo. When you think about the continual things that you're supposed to do in the New Testament, one is you're continually supposed to be devoted to the word of God and the preaching and teaching of the word of God, and you're supposed to be devoted to the continual prayer, praying without ceasing. That's what it means to be devoted. I make no apologies, then, that when you come to this church, you will hear the word. And yes, it will go on for 40, 50 minutes. But I guarantee you, it's not as long as the movie that you saw last week. It is not as long as the football game that you watched. It is not as long as the conversation you had with a long-lost friend or relative. Or it is not as long as the texting that you do all day long. But we do make a priority on the teaching of the Word of God because of this verse right here. It says the early church was continually devoted to the apostles' teaching. This is what we're going to do. You know, we're not perfect here. And we're probably missing the boat on many areas. But if I keep in the Word, sooner or later we're going to come on that area. And right now, the area that we're trying to make sure we're not missing is the area of prayer, because it also says that they were continually devoted to prayer. Now, one more verse, and that is Romans chapter 12, verse 12. This Paul is writing to the church at Rome, those believers there. He's giving them a barrage in verse 12 of admonitions. So Romans 12, 12, he's telling them that they are to be rejoicing in hope. Believers ought to be rejoicing because we of all people have hope. He tells them that in the same verse, they ought to be persevering in tribulation. He's told them that we will enter the kingdom of God after having gone through many tribulations, but persevere. And then he says this word, proskartereo, in relation to prayer, and be devoted to prayer. He's telling all believers to do this. And again, the idea is it's not that they're special or different. I believe that the intent is that you would talk to the Apostle Paul. He would probably say, yeah, that's probably a good analogy, that to the believer, his devotion and persistence in prayer ought to be just like breathing. It ought to come that natural. But because he knows the members of those churches, both in Colossae and at Rome, he knows that they struggle just like we do. We get too busy. We get too unspiritual. We get too uncaring. We get just too lazy. And we don't pray like we ought. And so he writes to them in a command under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you must keep on devoting yourselves to prayer. And if you don't, then you will suffer in your spiritual life. So will others, so will your ministry, but it's also a sin. If I don't have a devoted prayer life, then I'm sinning. Please pray for your pastor, because your pastor has sinned from time to time. And I want this to be just as much an impact on my life as I want it to be on yours. I'm going to have to stop. Believe me, I have it in me to be persistent and devoted to preaching. But we are running out of time. What I'd like to do next week then is I want to continue this before we move into our other area, is I want to look at devotion to prayer in the parables. You know, there's two parables that talk about persistence. The one where the neighbor comes at midnight, he wants some bread. The guy says, "No way, Jose, I'm not giving you any bread." But because he won't stop pounding on the door, he says, "I'm going to give him bread." That's not because he's my favorite person at the moment. It's because I want to get some sleep. Jesus says, "God, who is much greater than that, has much more compassion than that. If this man will give you what you ask for in persistent prayer, how much more your heavenly Father?" Or you know about the persistent widow who's trying to get justice from the judge. And it says the judge doesn't fear God and the judge doesn't fear man. So what's this little widow going to do? Well, she won't stop. She's become a pain and a bother. And he finally relents. Now, this is not to say that when you pray, you're bothering God. Absolutely not. That would be wrong thinking. The scripture says what makes him your God is that he wants you, the creature, to depend upon him for everything. And not just once, but be persistent in it. Be burdened about it. Come to him in prayer. And that's even what Jesus says in that parable. I want to look at some examples from the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. I want to look at Jesus' devotion through prayer and his example. And he is the ultimate example. And by the way, did you know that as far as the prayers of Jesus and the prayer life of Jesus, that the scriptures record some 80 verses or references to Jesus and prayer, whether he's actually praying or whether he's alluding to something about prayer, or whether he's actually teaching on prayer. Approximately 26 times, Scripture records Jesus actually praying. 26 times! In fact, there's one chapter, chapter 17 in John, where it's recorded that Jesus' entire prayer is recorded. 25 verses. Okay, I'm going to preach a little. Jesus prayed at his baptism. Luke 3. He prayed before his tour of Galilee. Mark 1. He prayed after he healed the crowds. He prayed before choosing the 12. He prayed before Peter's great confession. He prayed before the transfiguration. He prayed before teaching on prayer. He prayed before the raising of Lazarus. He prayed before Peter's denial. He prayed at Gethsemane. He prayed on the cross. And this is a great one. He is presently praying and interceding for believers right now as he's at the right hand of God the Father. Do you think prayer is important? It absolutely is. It is really what Christianity is all about. It is about prayer. Now quickly, just want to make three quick applications and then we're going to go. But I found some good quotes and I wanted to read them. And I had to read one by Augustine. Basically, what we see, number one, is that nothing is more excellent than prayer. And here's what Augustine says. What can be more excellent than prayer? What is more profitable to our life? What is sweeter to our souls? What is more sublime in the course of our whole life than the practice of prayer? What about its importance? Nothing is more important than prayer. Martin Lloyd-Jones, without the English accent. Prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. When a man is speaking to God, he is at his very acme. It is the highest activity of the human soul. And therefore, it is, at the same time, the ultimate test of a man's true spiritual condition. There is nothing that tells the truth about us as Christian people so much as our prayer life. Ouch. I might have left this quote out. He says, there is no principle in connection with the Christian life that exceeds prayer in importance. And then, as if you needed one, nothing is a greater challenge. Nothing is a greater challenge than to devote ourselves to prayer. It is a challenge. We need to do it. We need to do it as if we need that oxygen turned up. But here it is. If we desire to win great battles for God, like the Old Testament saints, if we want to shake this building, shake our lives, shake our world right side up with the gospel, if we want to enhance our relationship with God and commune with Him, if we want to move forward in our spiritual lives, if we want to intercede for others to come to Christ and grow in Christ, if we want to further our ministry and the ministry of Grace Bible Church, and if we want to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ and obey His command, and if we want to pray, and we want prayer to become as natural as breathing, then we must devote ourselves to prayer. That is our challenge, and that is our theme. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, how we ask You that You would work in our hearts, that we first might pray, that we first might pray to ask You to help us devote ourselves to prayer. And Father, we just would ask. And we do so, Lord, in a very humble manner, to say, we're sorry, Lord, that we have to ask You to pray to help us to talk with You often. I'm sorry, Lord, that hurts us just even having to pray that. But You already knew it, and yet here it is. You are encouraging us to do it. You are encouraging us to devote ourselves to prayer. And not only to communing with You, but also with strengthening our spiritual lives, our ministry of being intercessors, and also prayer for our ministry. Oh God, help us. And you know, Lord, in a way this is very exciting because of what will be the great result of devoting ourselves to prayer. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.